On the last episode of Modern Practice, we spoke about reducing mortality and the role of clinical documentation improvement in improving your mortality reporting. Today, we continue our discussion and we'll examine the role of transfer centers. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, and I welcome back Dr. Steve Muir, Executive Principal at Vizient. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks. Nice to be here again.
So last episode, we addressed CDI or documentation as an area of interest in reducing mortality scores for many of our organizations. So what other areas require attention in your opinion?
Yeah, Tom. Well, I mentioned one other area when we were in the first session, and that's throughput. But I will tell you that most interesting to me about risk-adjusted mortality is that it's multifactorial. There are a number of factors that you can drill into and understand that if you changed could improve risk-adjusted mortality. And I think what we've done in the past is we've kind of focused on the ones we really kind of know of. But there are everything from payer categories to transfers from other hospitals to the use of palliative care to the use of hospice. The list goes on and on. And the nice thing about mortality and the clinical database, as you know, is that analysts who really get this and who are curious and who have this kind of investigative mind source can say, okay, we have this ODE ratio, which might be a 1.18. And again, that's the observed divided by the expected. Anything above one is going to be worse than expected. But rather than going to the leaders with a 1.18, what they're doing is they're drilling into the database and saying, what factors should we focus on to change that then I can go to the leaders and say, well, I know we're at 1.18 now, but if we do this, this, and this, then we're going to see that 1.18 reduce.
Another area that I've actually been doing a lot of work in is in the transfer center as well.
Yes.
Many of our organizations, particularly our academic medical centers, tend to have a policy of just pretty much admitting everybody or transferring everybody. With the hopes and since they actually have the expertise that they offer the best glimpse of hope for many of our patients. But in reality, many times they're actually accepting people who, quite frankly, their chance of mortality is extremely high. What's your feedback and what does the CDB tell us about that?
Yes, and that is a challenge because those patients that are being transferred in from other hospitals typically die 2 to 3 times more often in the hospital than patients not being transferred in from other hospitals. And so if you are thinking about the inpatient side of the hospital as not the place to be for death, for mortality, then you have to start thinking differently. You have to start thinking differently about those patients coming in. I know one organization, for example, for stroke patients that had certain characteristics, if they were 30 miles away from that transfer center, from that main hospital, from that level one trauma center, they'd said, no, we're not going to be able to have you transfer the patient down here only to have them die in the next day or so. And so they beefed up their telehealth program to be able to handle the patients from a telehealth standpoint. They initially thought that that was going to be a concern for those outlying hospitals, but it has turned out to actually be something very good for them. The communication in the telehealth space actually enhanced the relationships that they had with those hospitals.
Yeah, actually, in some of the work that we've been doing, many of them actually developed a co-management program among these patients in which they were still involved actively engaging the palliative care program in addition to a critical care specialist, possibly even cardiology, in which they co-managed those patients in the facility where they originated from. And if suddenly were to take a change in the patient's course where then suddenly they would benefit from the transfer, then they assure those patients those transfers occur.
The thing is about this is we've got to start thinking differently about mortality. You know, unfortunately, the old adage is there's only two things that occur in our lifetime, taxes and death.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to suggest that harm does not exist. And we have to be able to monitor and manage and really tackle harm as much as possible. But we need to start thinking about where is the best place for this patient and their family to be when they are actively dying.
I couldn't agree more again. So another area, this is actually a hospital in Georgia. What they're doing is they actually attached a mini ICU to the emergency room in which patients that are transferred in or when they come through the emergency room, the risk of mortality is extremely high and expected to occur within 48 hours. They're actually kept in the emergency room in this, say, a satellite ICU, if you will, that's still run by the emergency room physicians and the patients never admitted, or maybe even placing the patient in observation. Have you seen this occur in other organizations?
Absolutely. And let me give you what I think is a pretty staggering statistic. And that is when you take a look at large organizations, and particularly the level one trauma centers, and you look at their in-hospital mortality for sepsis patients, About half of those, on average, are what we call early deaths. These are patients that die within 48 hours after being admitted into the hospital. And so if you're a hospital that in the last year had 100 deaths, 50 of those could be these early deaths. These patients that are coming in through the transfer center, in through the ED, that are truly actively dying. And what do we do with those patients right now? We put them up onto the floors.
Right.
Well, I was with an organization and the ED was saying, yes, you get those patients up on the floors as quickly as possible. And there was a critical care physician in the audience. And he said, you know, we have to stop that practice because I'm seeing in the critical care unit at least one patient a week that I know is actively dying. And when they're actively dying, I have to treat them very differently and their families very differently than I do patients that I know that are going to walk out of this hospital alive. And so we do see organizations starting to think about where is the best place for this patient as they come into the transfer center ED. And as you know, it's been really challenging for us to get them out of the ED to hospice right away because the family member has just brought this patient in from 20 miles away and they're saying, wait a minute, you're telling us we're going to go straight to hospice. So we do have organizations, and I know of one that is building what they're calling a supportive care observation unit where these patients are going to. They're not telling the patients and families, you're going to a supportive care observation unit. They're just saying you're going to the unit that is best served for your loved one. And there's all the resources, the staff that can handle actively dying patients. While some folks would say, well, this is kind of moving the deck chairs around the Titanic, I would say it's a better place for that patient, for that family, and for the clinicians in the hospital.
Yeah, in fact, some of the major part of the work that we do with the transfer center is in the area of communication and patient and family engagement. Are we having discussions with the patient and the families of what the expectations are from the transfer? And are we actually engaging all stakeholders on what the expectation are? And are those expectations realistic?
Yes, that's right. And listen, I'm not a clinician, and I know you are. That is one of the most challenging conversations that any clinician could have. And so that is why we need specialized individuals to be able to do that rather than leave it up to all the clinicians throughout the hospital.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I want to thank Dr. Steve Muir for joining us. If you'd like to contact Steve, we put his email address in the resource section of our podcast page. We'll return next week to continue our discussion. Also, if you're interested in learning more about our mortality reduction program, please note my email will also be in the resource center as well. If you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send me a comment, please contact me at our email at modernpracticepodcast@visientinc.com. And please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Visient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.